This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm News Director Katie Pugh. Thank you for joining us. Tonight we'll hear about the King's student Caroline Jones' crowning achievement as Miss Susquehanna Valley and react to the Super Bowl halftime show. We'll also discuss Tom Brady's potential status as the greatest of all time, the latest news from Wall Street on the business beat, shine the spotlight onto guitar pop artist Latimer House, and get the forecast for tomorrow's snowstorm. Station manager Jessica Mulligan interviewed Caroline Jones, a King's College student who was recently crowned Miss Susquehanna Valley in a regional pageant.
Annually, the Miss America organization encourages thousands of girls nationwide to compete for that one coveted spot while building self-confidence as well as funds for the Children's Miracle Network. This year, once again, Caroline Jones is in the running. A junior business management major from Mountain Top, Pennsylvania, Jones just recently became eligible to compete for Miss Pennsylvania later this year as a preliminary local title holder. Jones shared how many titles she has had so far and why she started competing in the first place.
This will be my fourth title. I started out as Miss Northeastern Pennsylvania representing this area, and I loved it so much that I decided to compete again the next year, and I won Miss White River City, which is the area of York, Pennsylvania. And then I competed for Miss State Capital last year, and I won that title, and then currently I'm Miss Susquehanna Valley. There's so many different reasons that I'm involved in the Miss America organization. One is that Miss America is actually the largest scholarship provider to young women in the world, so I'm very grateful for the scholarships I received through Miss America. And then meeting people, I've met so many wonderful people, people in the community that I've gotten to know, elected officials and community leaders, and also contestants that I compete with in the Miss America organization. The contestants get very close, and I've made some really, really good friends by competing.
She continued by explaining the different areas of the competition.
So there's five different areas of competition: talent, interview, onstage question, lifestyle and fitness, and swimsuit and evening gown. I think onstage question is probably the most difficult because you can be asked anything on stage. So I'm always staying up with current events and controversial or political issues because you could be asked absolutely anything. So it's important that we're all educated and aware of everything that's going on in the world.
With so many focuses, she has a routine for preparing for that special competition night.
I prepare for every area of competition almost every day, whether I'm practicing piano or practicing walking or watching the news and, of course, working out in the gym.
Furthermore, she explained what it is like to compete in the Miss Pennsylvania pageant as a local title holder.
Competing in the Miss Pennsylvania competition is a thrilling week. It's really cool to be able to meet so many other women who are so passionate and ambitious and hardworking and dedicated to whatever they're doing in their lives. And so it's really neat to be surrounded by all of that positive energy, and it's really great to be able to showcase all of the hard work that you've been doing on stage.
Her platform is a crucial part of her motivation to compete.
My platform is called the Read to Succeed Project. And the Read to Succeed Project is a movement and a program that I created to promote childhood literacy and education. And I actually started this platform before I even thought about competing in pageants. When I was a senior in high school, I was volunteering with the United Way to distribute children's books. And there was 5,000 children's books that I had to sort and distribute to various nonprofits in the Wilkes-Barre area. And what I saw was that many children didn't know how to read, and their parents didn't know how to read or even own books. And I was absolutely shocked by that. And so I wanted to do something about that. And that's when I decided to write my first children's book, One More Book, Please. And I got it published. I translated it into Spanish. I've been going around to hundreds of different schools, libraries, nonprofits to read my book to children. I even got to go to Ecuador with my Spanish book. My second book, The Line Leader, was just published a few months ago that I co-authored with Dr. Matthew Sauchek, and being a title holder in the Miss America organization has given me that platform to be able to promote childhood literacy and education.
Of course, with 4 years under her belt, she has a particular favorite memory.
I think my favorite memory is something with my platform. I've gotten to meet so many amazing children, and for children to look up to me as a role model because I'm wearing a crown and a sash, and then to be able to influence those children and teach them about my platform of childhood literacy and education, but also be a positive influence in their life. And every single child that I get to meet makes all of the hard work worth it.
Be sure to watch out for Caroline Jones in the community and the news on her road to Miss Pennsylvania as Miss Susquehanna Valley. For WRKC News at 5, I am station manager Jessica Mulligan.
Over its 51-year history, the Super Bowl has moved from high school bands to rock icons and recently to pop stars like Beyoncé, Katy Perry, and most recently, Lady Gaga. Program director Nick Rotondo surveyed the opinions of the King's community on this genre shift.
The three things everyone looks forward to on Super Bowl Sunday are the big game itself, the commercials, and of course the halftime show. This year, Lady Gaga performed at Super Bowl 51 in Houston. Some King students gave their opinions on her performance. Senior Mass Communications major Frank Barangi and freshman Mass Communications major Marcus Sewell gave their thoughts on the show.
I thought they did a really good job. It was shorter this year, I think, mainly because they didn't have a second person performing with Lady Gaga. I think she did a really great job, though. I'm happy that she kind of didn't politicize it like a lot of the rumors said she was going to do. I probably would have been more upset if she did, because I don't think that's the place for it. But other than that, I think she did a great job.
I think we've all seen more controversial halftime shows, but this is probably a little bit better. The only like true thing that you could ever take away is that more people probably turned in to watch Lady Gaga than anybody else could probably watch football right now.
Senior General Science major Philip Trevisani, however, did not enjoy Lady Gaga's performance.
I did see the halftime show. It was good, but I didn't like the halftime show. I don't think that Lady Gaga is a stadium performer. I would have liked to see so-called stadium band do the halftime show.
Freshman physician assistant majors Eric Olson and Jordan Pritchard, however, did not watch this year's halftime show.
I watched the Super Bowl, but I left during the halftime to do chem homework.
I just came in to watch like the beginning of the Super Bowl and then more towards the end because I knew a couple people that had funny bets riding on it. I guess I just wasn't watching the Super Bowl that much in depth in general, and that meant even less to me.
Frank, Marcus, and Eric then gave their thoughts on what they think the NFL is going towards with the halftime show over these past few years.
After the whole Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake fiasco, I think that they wanted to bring it more towards old school rock, appealing to a older audience. They had The Who, The Rolling Stones, if I'm not mistaken, and then they kind of went more towards pop. I think the last people we had were pop. I think it was Bruno Mars, we had Beyonce last year, Katy Perry. So I would like to see some more old-time bands, some rock bands in the future.
I think more along the lines, I think the NFL is just trying to garner a new audience with the mainstream instead of just the football fanatics. I think it's trying to turn into what the NBA is today, which is just everybody, and it's a family-friendly game, and that's why it's just become so soft, and you see, you know, lesser hits and stuff like that. And I know we're just talking about the music, but that's just the aspect of it. Like, Lady Gaga is a huge name. It's just like last year with Beyonce. Beyonce's a huge name. It's just the millennials and
such. I think what
they're
doing with bringing in more pop is trying to get in touch with the demographic that might not feel as home with football, and I think they're trying to make the Super Bowl a more accessible event, or maybe even like an event with broader appeal than just football. So it makes sense from a marketing standpoint, but also just from like a social inclusive standpoint.
Finally, Eric, Jordan, Marcus, and Philip gave some of their top picks of who they would love to see perform in the future.
Maybe someone like Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam would be another good one. Something like on the alt rock side, but nothing too heavy to drive away a bigger audience.
Call me old fashioned, but probably Van Halen.
Guar would be the greatest. All right, Super Bowl 52, Guar.
I'd like to see, you know, Kiss, Guns N' Roses, possibly Metallica. I think it would be good to see that.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director Nick Rotondo.
Coming up next, we'll get the breakdown of Tom Brady's pending status as the greatest of all time, the latest from Wall Street economists on the business beat, check out Latimer House on the Artist Spotlight, and get our snow-filled forecast.
When you're selling your gun online, your potential buyers might sound safe, but does that mean they really are?
Hi, seller. I'm interested in the 9mm you posted.
I'd love to get my hands on a gun.
In such good condition.
Let me know if it's still available.
And we can set up a time to meet.
An email can't tell you what a licensed dealer can. Sell through a licensed dealer to make sure the buyer checks out. Go to ncpc.org to find out how to sell with certainty. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Ham's dance party is going to make you sweat. Every Friday night at 8 on WRKC.
The news at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
After a thrilling Super Bowl 51, the New England Patriots defeated the Atlanta Falcons in overtime. Tom Brady won his fifth Super Bowl in 7 appearances. After the win, social media reacted positively and negatively, calling Brady the GOAT, standing for greatest of all time, or the WOAT, the worst of all time. Although Tom Brady has been surrounded by much controversy over his career, he is considered to be a steal in the NFL draft as he was only a sixth rounder taken in the 2000 NFL draft. He is also fourth in career passing yards and fourth in career touchdown passes. King's College students gave insight on Tom Brady. Senior Derek McManus and sophomore Sean Price believe that Tom...
I think leading up to the Super Bowl, there was still a lot of debate whether Tom was really the greatest of all time. Whether it was him, Montana, there was even some rumblings about Aaron Rodgers in there. But this Super Bowl just solidifies it. I think this win, I mean, even if he won it, it would have been no debate. But even the way he won this one, coming back from behind like that, there's no debate anymore. He is the greatest of all time.
I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time after Super Bowl 51.
Tortorelli says that Tom Brady is not the GOAT.
I look at Super Bowl records and I look at performances. Don't get me wrong, Brady had a hell of a performance, but I got to go with Joe Montana. 4-0 in the Super Bowl, and the man was just an absolute monster throughout the playoffs, throughout his career. So I go with Montana.
Tortorelli says that Tom Brady is not the GOAT.
I'm going to say no, and for... The main reason is teams get stupid when they play them. You look at this past Super Bowl, they're down 8 points. Falcons had the ball. They could have ran it that entire drive. They didn't. They threw it, gave them the opportunity. You look at the Seahawks on the one and goal. They threw the ball, interception. So he's been very lucky based off of other teams' stupidity. So I won't classify him as the greatest of all time.
New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick is arguably the greatest NFL coach of all time. Some say that Brady and Belichick are the greatest coach and player tandem in all major sports.
I don't think Tom Brady is as good as he is today without Bill Belichick. And I also don't think Belichick wins as many Super Bowls himself as without Tom Brady. So, yeah, you got to say they are the best coach and player tandem of all time. Thinking through all the major sports, I honestly can't think of any other tandems that have really dominated their sport and have been so consistent as these two have been.
Unfortunately, I have to say so. I mean, just the chemistry between the two of them is just outstanding. I am salty that Belichick resigned with the Jets on a napkin because that could have been the Jets. But, you know, I got to give credit where credit's due. They are best 1-2 punch coach-player tandem in history.
The debate on whether Tom Brady is, in fact, the greatest of all time is still up in the air. He still has years left of his career, and I think that could possibly solidify him being the greatest of all time. Some say he is already, and some disagree, but this is going to be one of the greatest sports debates for the next century. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm sports director Dan Stokes.
Hello. This is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in review. The Federal Reserve reiterated the strengthening U.S. domestic outlook would warrant gradual policy tightening. Uncertainty surrounds the unfolding of the new administration's policy, so the Fed has not given any clue as to when a rate rise will occur. Economists still expect inflation to move to the 2% target this year, prompting 2 rate hikes, possibly with the first move in June. January's jobs report added 227,000 jobs on the month, much stronger than analysts expected. Labor force participation rose 0.2%, giving the slight uptick in unemployment to 4.8% some positive light. The Global Review. Real GDP in the Eurozone grew 2% in the fourth quarter, stronger than the 1.8% growth that was registered in quarter three. Growth in quarter four was driven primarily by domestic demand. Real GDP in Canada rose 0.4% in the fourth quarter. It appears that the Canadian economy has accelerated again following the marked slowdown that accompanied the collapse in energy prices that commenced in 2014. Economists remain concerned about the outlook for the Mexican economy going forward. It is forecasted that the combination of rising interest rates and uncertainty related to NAFTA will lead to a mild recession in the Mexican economy this year. Now on to recent news with the U.S. stock market. Seth A. Klarman is a 59-year-old value investor who runs Baupost Group, which handles some $30 billion a year. He is the most successful and influential investor you have probably never heard of. Perhaps that's why a private letter he wrote to his investors a little over 2 weeks ago about investing during the age of President Trump has quietly become the most sought-after reading material on Wall Street. While Klarman keeps a low public profile, he is considered a giant within investment circles. He is often compared to Warren Buffett, and The Economist magazine once described him as the Oracle of Boston, where Baupost is based. He is one of very few hedge fund managers Mr. Buffett has publicly praised. In his letter, Klarman sets forth an opposing view to the elation that has exponentially grown the stock market since Mr. Trump took office, describing perilously high valuations. Klarman said, quote, "Exuberant investors have focused on the potential benefits of stimulative tax cuts, while mostly ignoring the risks from America First protectionism and the erection of new trade barriers. President Trump may be able to temporarily hold off the sweep of automation and globalization by cajoling companies to keep jobs at home, but bolstering inefficient and uncompetitive enterprises is likely to only temporarily stave off market forces," he continued. While they might be popular, the reason the U.S. long ago abandoned protectionist trade policies is because they not only don't work, they actually leave society worse off. While Klarman is clearly hoping for the best, he warned, quote, "If things go wrong, we could find ourselves at the beginning of a lengthy decline in dollar hegemony, a rapid rise in interest rates, and inflation and global angst." Time will only tell if Klarman's predictions about the new U.S. economic policies are true or not. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
You're listening to the Artist Spotlight on the News at 5. My name is Therese Rafsedge, music director, and I'll be your host for today's installment of the program. The artist I've chose to feature is Latimer House and their new album, Hey. These guitar-driven prog rockers cover a lot of ground on their follow-up to 2012's All the Rage. Hey touches on issues from haywire economics and pollution to political strife. Recorded with the help of a neighborhood gang of groovers and shakers who dropped in to play, sing, and drink tea, Latimer House is fueled by pounding drum beats, high-energy guitar riffs, and classic 60s, 70s rock, funk, and new wave. We're going to play samples from three tracks on this album, and we're going to begin with the third, titled Content. So stay tuned.
Download, upgrade, mobile device. Get the kit, it supports a share price. Download, upgrade, mobile device. Get the kit, supports the share price. Everyone stoned on content, piped and beamed into hungry eyes. Consumer demand aggregator.
You just heard Content by Latimer House here on the Artist Spotlight. Up next, we have a sample of their seventh track titled Prelude. That was Prelude by Latimer House here on the Artist Spotlight. And up next, we have a sample of their ninth track titled Hey.
Happiness is a discount store. Church and flag. Mercy is an absentee. And it's cold outside in the pouring rain. And it's cold outside in the pouring rain.
You have just listened to the Artist Spotlight here on the News at 5. My name is Therese Rafsedge, music director, and I was your host for today's installment of the program. The artist that we chose to feature is titled Latimer House, and the album that we played the songs off of was their 2017 release, Hey. Please stay tuned for the remainder of the News at 5.
And now the weather. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 37. Tomorrow we'll have accumulations reaching 6 inches of snow with a high of 28 degrees. Friday will be partly sunny with a high of 31 degrees. Watch your King's email and text alerts for possible snow delays or closings tomorrow morning. The deadline to sign up for intramural basketball is February 15th. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm News Director Katie Pugh. Have a wicked Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.